This is the sound of an Indian scroll singer and storyteller. It's an ancient method of telling stories which was recently reintroduced to convey health messages to communities living in rural India.
The story is of a small child who loses his parents and then he goes into a town to earn for his family. So he earns money and sends it back for his brother and sister so they can be educated. Because he's lonely in the town, he starts with his friends, starts taking drugs. And soon enough, one thing leads to another and he's contracted HIV. He loses his job and then he goes back home. When he gets home, he's thrown out of the house because he has HIV. So that story of stigma, of isolation, how he's stigmatized, is kind of comes through very strongly, and the anguish that he goes through.
Rebecca Gould is producer of the conference, a gathering of scientists, doctors and science communicators in Bangalore, India, in December 2009. This year's theme is Telling Stories, Why Narrative Matters in the Public Engagement with Science.
So over the next couple of days, we're also going to be looking at explanations of story and storytelling in all of the different cultures represented in this room. We hope that we'll learn new ways to tell stories. We also hope that we'll learn from different people who are working with different audiences. And audiences, for me, are key. Whether that's an audience of one or 40 million, you can't tell a story unless you've got an audience. But it's also democratic and it's free, and anyone can tell their story. Stories, more than anything else, I think, enable us to share what's in our mind and to create understanding and hopefully curiosity, which obviously is very useful when you're trying to engage people in health and science.
So my name's Simon Parry and I'm chairing the Creative Approaches Strand, that's looking at a whole range of arts and media approaches to engaging people, communities, individuals with science. So the session that's going on at the moment is a drama session. It's run by Jeff Tier, Arundhati Raja and Paul Syrat. They've worked together in the UK and in India, making plays about science, working with scientists, in fact, here at NCBS. They've started off looking a little bit about the acting process, so how you start off with actors, getting a story on its feet, and how actors tend to start working with feelings about how their character might feel and how you express that in different ways. We then looked at some different ways of structuring narrative in different forms of drama. Paul talked about different play structures from different parts of the world, although he did connect and suggested that they were quite similar. And now, in a very ambitious move, he's getting people to try and develop a play in 5 minutes. And the play is about a doctor and a patient. And he's trying to get them to use a structure where the power changes hands. So one character has power over the other at the beginning, and this changes.
Okay, so the story is, it's a female patient and a female doctor, and the female patient comes to the doctor and is pregnant. She's quite young, I would say she's underage, maybe early 16, 17, very young, and this was an unplanned pregnancy. And she asked the girl to give up the father's name. Okay, so she refuses to give up the name of the baby's father. She wants to have an abortion to sort it out. The doctor questions the morality of giving an abortion without having the man responsible being held to account, and refuses to treat her without the consequences coming to the father. Then the patient is forced to reveal that the father of the child is the doctor's husband, and the doctor then says, God, yes, let's just brush it under the carpet, get it sorted out as quickly as possible.
Paul Syrat is a playwright, helping workshop participants to create short plays. He's written a number of science-based plays produced around the world. Here he tells us what he intends to do in the drama session.
And what I want to look at particularly in relation to what's happening here in Bangalore is what I call very loosely the science of playwriting. So, and applying that obviously to writing plays about science. And so I want to look at various models, narrative models, of how in drama you would structure a story. So starting with the ancients, Aristotle, and working right the way up to contemporary film theorists to look at how they structure stories, and then to create a paradigm upon which I will place the play that I wrote recently for Theatre Science called Bad Blood Blues. And it's just a way of looking how a science narrative fits with a story about two people, really. So it's a very human story, but the science is there with it, and it's looking at how they work together and how you structure stories to make them function in that way.
Paul hopes that his playwriting techniques will help delegates to combine science and drama into engagement activities.
What's wrong? What's the matter? How do I say it?
What happened?
It's very difficult for me to tell you, Doctor.
Why? I'm a woman too, I can understand. Tell me.
Doctor, I'm pregnant.
You are?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 16.
What? You are?
I'm 16.
And you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
What do I do? It was that night.
What night?
It was that drunken night when I went out with him.
You never heard of protection?
He said he loved me.
He said he loved me.
And so, you're having a baby.
I know that ideas are taken to various groups, or you might go to a village somewhere and say, make up a story. I'm hoping that there might be some tools here that would be useful, because it's very simple tools for telling a story. 3 steps of how to make a story, or 5 steps. And very simple ways of setting out a narrative that will create a satisfying story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. So it's about giving people those tools if they want to take them. And also when people are thinking about science, their science, and how they can turn it into a satisfying narrative to talk to somebody, hopefully there'll be something in this for them to take away as well.
Storytelling is a means of relating a message from one public to the next. Subhadra Menon leads the translation strand of the conference. She's head of health communications and advocacy at the Public Health Foundation of India.
There's a translator in all of us. There's a translator between a mother and her child. There's a translator between a teacher and a student. So it's a dynamic event which is happening all the time. In terms of the specifics of the session, we thought a few very important themes emerged for us. For instance, there was a discussion around inspirational stories, which could be looked at as directing us towards what works as strong positive translation between different target groups, because all of us acknowledge that all of us speak different languages, literally and otherwise. And the other major theme that emerged was that for all of us there could be a circle of concern, but the more important and strategic intervention would be with those for whom issues lie within a circle of influence. So you and I may be concerned about an issue, but those who could do something directly about an issue are those whom we should watch out for, work with, capacitate, and translate for.
Translation can take many forms, whether it be between scientists and media, patients and policymakers, or health workers and the general public. Delegate Nurgis Mistry is director of the Foundation of Medical Research in Mumbai and advisor to the Tata Trust. She shared her story about working amongst a community living with leprosy based on the border between Nepal and India. It's a tale of disease, stigma, and tweed.
And this particular story I'm going to tell you is about a location in one of the northern states which borders the Himalayan range called Uttarakhand. And I happened to go there just for an inspection of some of the health facilities in that area. And I was stationed in a town which you get to through an overnight journey from Delhi by train and then by jeep over the foothills, the Himalayan foothills. And when I was there, I came into touch with a large number of women who were a part of a weavers cooperative, which extends right through the Himalayan region. Now, the area where I'm in borders on the east with Nepal. And the story I heard was about a lot of Nepali leprosy patients crossing over into India to escape stigma in their own remote villages in the mountainous region of Nepal. The story goes that if in such a remote villages, if a patient is found to have leprosy, then the villagers just bury that patient alive. So this type of stigma is probably still alive in many of the remote localities where the advances of science and technology haven't reached. Now, a group of such patients from Nepal would have come to Almora, say maybe about 100, 150 years ago, when that area was populated with a lot of Scotsmen during the British occupation of India. And somehow the Nepali patients picked up from the Scots the art of weaving tweed, and they became master weavers. Now, why the stigma against leprosy did not operate between these women master weavers and the leprosy patients is something that needs to be looked at more closely. But this is the way the story goes, and today the weaving movement, and they weave shawls, and these shawls are sold at upmarket places all over Europe and the United States through very innovative marketing strategies.
The third strand of the Telling Stories conference relates to gender and public engagement. David Ostrin, a paediatrician and Wellcome Trust fellow who works on the health of mothers and newborns in Mumbai, leads the strand. Issues addressed include how gender differences affect access to healthcare and information, how do stories about women's health affect survival, and how public engagement workers create safe spaces to allow women to tell their own stories.
We're going to have four jumping off points, which you'll see in the programme. Why gender matters in public engagement, women's stories and making the space for women to speak, alternative stories about women's mental health, and transgender issues in public engagement. And each session, we think, will be just over an hour, and we're going to base it around telling stories. So in each session, two or three panellists will tell a story, and we'll use the stories that they tell as nests for discussion and springboards for other stories.
One such story is that told by Lindy Wafula, who is the founding director of Project Africa. This helps to empower women with the skills and resources to rise above social challenges such as gender inequity or HIV. Using the power of letter writing, Lindy has set up the Rafiki programme, which is a form of literacy education, which is based on a network between women around the world and women in Africa. Weekly clubs are held to encourage letter writing as a means of sharing experiences and voicing opinion.
Okay, Rafiki program started by matching women whom we recruit through the internet from a website called the World Pulse, where we have a Rafiki club. And the women are matched with women who are in the network of Project Africa. Then they start writing letters as pen pals to each other. So every Monday, the Rafikis in Lungalunga and Kakamega have a Rafiki session where they come with the letters that they have received from their Rafikis abroad and read those letters aloud. That's the first session that adds to literacy, where we say every time a woman in Kenya receives a letter, she gets a chance to read. And every time she replies the letter to her Rafiki abroad, she gets a chance to write. But within the same session, the Rafikis write letters within the whole week about health, about business, about agriculture, which they share within the same sessions. So we have seen it transforming households and just empowering women. Now they have become the ones who are bringing resourceful information into their households and in their communities.
Not only does the program aid reading and writing, but it provides a forum whereby women can openly discuss sensitive issues which affect their daily lives.
Women who have got so many questions that have never been answered by anyone, or they even fear to go to their doctors to ask these questions, find a space within the Rafiki program to come and ask those questions to experts, to doctors, to gynecologists, to anybody who has got any answer to give to them. And the women use the same information for themselves and for their children, going back with the solutions that they have received in the Rafiki program and putting them into use. They realize that it is important, together with the literacy, they can be able to maybe even read prescription that the doctors have made and discuss about it. But also they have been able to use the same information and package it into booklets, which they share with the rest of the community and the rest of the members, women in different villages within Kenya.
These are just a few of the stories and international public engagement projects which featured at the conference. On the last day, there was an overall feeling that the collective experience of those gathered in Bangalore had woven interests and ambitions together as people departed for their corner of the globe to continue the cycle of finding, generating, and most importantly, telling stories. Daniel Glazer, head of special projects at the Wellcome Trust, which funded the conference and provides numerous international public engagement grants, has the last word.
It's been a really inspiring conference. When you fund work like this, often you're looking at it on paper, you're thinking about things in theory. But when you come across practitioners, people who actually make a living doing this stuff, people from so many different countries and so many different places, who share a passion for communicating science, but do it in such different ways, it makes you think about your own work completely differently. We spend hundreds of millions of pounds in developing countries on health issues. But even we can't hope to change the world in terms of public engagement. But we think that by working on small projects through small grants, we can develop a community, a group of people with a common purpose who can think about the problems of communicating science in their different ways and help each other out from their different perspectives.
একটি মাত্র বোন আর ছোট দুটি ভাই, আমরা কেমনে বাঁচিব সবাই, আমরা কে আমাদের আজকে বাদেবে সান্তনা, তাই কেমনে বোঝাবো বলো মনের বেদনা, তাই আমি সংসার ছেড়ে যাই শহরে, রোজগারের সব টাকা পয়সা পাঠাতাম ঘরে, আমি সংসার ছেড়ে গেলাম শহরে, রোজগারের সব টাকা পয়সা।